Open your Bibles, if you would, to a couple of places, Luke chapter 2 and also Isaiah 50. Luke 2 and Isaiah 50. Mentioned a moment ago, if you missed it last Saturday, the reading in our countdown to Christmas was from Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. And you know how when you read the Bible, sometimes you read one passage and it leads you to another passage? And then that leads you to another passage, and it's really an awesome thing how God has connected his word. Verses in the New Testament, of course, tie to other New Testament verses. Verses in the New tie back to the Old. In the Old, tie to different verses. And God's word is connected, obviously, because it has one author. It's all his word. He wrote it. And though he used men, he moved holy men in the Old Testament, he moved them by the Holy Spirit to speak what he wanted to. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it's all his word, and God has put it together, and so it all ties together. So Isaiah 9, it talks about those who sat in darkness. It talks about that land. In Matthew chapter 4, he says that when Jesus came preaching the gospel in that area, that was to fulfill that scripture. And reading that, it has led to different places, and so I just want to talk to you a little bit tonight about that whole point that God has brought light into the darkness. Luke 2, verses 31 and 32, let's pray one more time together, and then we'll get into the text. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity, and Lord, I pray that as we approach your word tonight, we would be reminded that you are the author, that this is your word. And God, we pray that you would guide us into all truth, that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit, as you said you would. And Lord, that you would teach us and help us that we would know you, that we would love you, and that by your grace and the power of your Spirit, we would live for you. Lord, I pray anyone hearing this message who's never been saved, that tonight they would hear and believe the gospel and call on your name, receive the gift of eternal life. The saved would follow you and identify with you through baptism, and that all of us would walk with you day by day for your glory. Please forgive me and help me. I'm nothing without you. We pray for your help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 2, 31. He says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. This was a prayer of thanksgiving. This was a prayer of joy in the temple when Jesus was born. Simeon was told that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And when they brought Jesus as a baby boy into the temple, he held him in his arms and he says, I can die now. I've seen your salvation. And he knew the scriptures, and he says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel, because Jesus isn't a savior for Israel only. He's a savior for all who believe. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, his light has come to all. When we think about that great light, I couldn't help but think about Isaiah 50, and I want to invite you to turn there now, Isaiah 50. And we're going to focus in at the end of the chapter, verses 10 and 11. Now, if you've been at Calvary for a long time, like some of you have, several years ago, we actually studied this passage. I felt pretty safe that none of you would remember the sermon. So I want to share some things with you again that we talked about years ago. Some of you might remember we studied for a while on Sunday mornings a series of messages about walking in the light. Anybody remember that? Some of you lie and say you remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Walking in the light. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about how we walk, and he wants us not to continue walking in darkness, but to walk in his marvelous light. Amen. We were children of the darkness, but now we're children of the light, and we ought to walk as children of light. We used to live in the darkness, but he's brought us into his glorious kingdom of light, and we ought to live in that light. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who realize they're in darkness, but try to make their own light. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's only one true light that lights the world, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Verse 10 in Isaiah 50 says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Now, what he's doing, he's contrasting two ways of going about this life. You can, one, realize you're in darkness and trust in God. You can obey his servant. You can trust in his name and you can live. Or you can realize you're in darkness and you can make your own fire. And you can walk in the light of your own fire and you can make your own sparks to live by. But when you die, you will lie down in sorrow forever. Amen. Pretty simple. There is eternal sorrow for those who walk in their own light. There are people who are creating their own light. Verse 11, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. He says, this is you kindling your own fire. This is you making your own light. This is you making your own way of salvation. And isn't that the way we are? Okay, when Adam sinned against God in the garden, they realized that they were naked, and what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together. They tried to make their own covering for sin. What is that? That's religion. That's self-righteousness. That's trying to make your own covering for sin, making your own way. It's the same thing that Isaiah is talking about here. It's making your own fire, making your own religion, making your own way of righteousness, and it will not work. Isaiah 44, verse 15. Isaiah 44, 15. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, and with part he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. You guys know what he's talking about? Verses 15, 16, and 17. What is it that he burns in the fire to warm his house? That he burns in the fire to cook his food? That he makes a god and bows down and worships? You know what it is? Yeah, it's a wood. It's a tree that he went out into the woods and cut down. He takes a tree, he builds a fire, and with what he's got left over after he cooks supper, he makes a god and bows down and says, you're my God. Isn't that silly? Amen. You realize that the majority of people on this planet do that? You say, well, I don't know about bowing down to a piece of wood. Listen, people are living in idolatry every day when they worship, serve, love or fear anything more than God. Amen. It's Romans 1, friends. We don't like to retain God at our knowledge, so we worship the creation more than the Creator. Listen, I don't want to get too some of you upset tonight, but you realize that everybody needs something to worship. There's something in our nature that cries out for something to live for, something bigger than ourselves. You know, a lot of people's biggest religion today is climate change. I'm not a climate change denier. I live in Oklahoma. I know the climate changes. But people have made climate change their God. They're willing to kill over climate change. They worship it as though it's God. And we could list thousands of other things that people worship. People create their own light. And in creating your own light, you corrupt your own way. He says, all ye that walk in the light of your fire, he says, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. You know, God is willing to allow people to choose to worship him or not. He is willing to allow people to choose to love him or not. He's willing to allow people to trust in him or not. And he is willing to allow those who reject him fully and finally, he will give them over to a reprobate mind. If you're taking notes, you can just go ahead and write down Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32, and you can read about it on your own. But when people refuse to acknowledge God in their mind, They'll worship the creation more than the creator, and God will give them over to a reprobate mind. And you can see that in the scriptures. It begins a steady decline in a person's life, in a person's family, in a person's community, and ultimately a person's culture. You go read about Romans 1 tonight later, and you go, oh, that's the United States of America today. Because Americans have rejected the God who's given us every good thing we have, and he's given our nation over to a reprobate mind. And that's what we see in the world today. You wonder how things got so crazy so fast? It didn't happen fast. It's been happening very slowly for a long, long time when people have turned away from God. People don't know anything anymore. People don't know what's right from wrong. People don't know what a right relationship looks like, or a marriage looks like, or whether they're a boy or a girl anymore, or whether they're a human being or an animal. Are you guys paying attention to what's going on in the world today? Because it's there. It's here. Where did that come from? How does it get there? It comes from people rejecting God. They're making their own light. They're kindling their own fire. And God says, walk in your own light. If you want to reject my light, you can walk in your own light. But then he gives a final warning. Creating your own light will corrupt your way. And it concludes with sorrow. Amen. Eternal sorrow. God says, this shall you have in my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 21 to 24. John 8, 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Where was Jesus going to go? We would say, well, he was going to go to the cross, and he did. Where was he going to go from the cross? Well, he was going to go to the tomb, and he did. Where was he going to go from there? He was going to rise again. Amen. And where was he going to go from there? He was going to ascend back to heaven. Where he came from, he was going to ascend to the right hand of the Father to rule and reign forever and ever. His kingdom, we read about it a while ago, was going to be established forever. Amen. An eternal kingdom. And he says, I'm going back to where I came from, and you can't come with me. Why? They were confused. Verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus had been telling them that he came from the Father. He was telling them that he was Messiah. He told them that he was the bread of life. He told them that he was the bread from heaven, that the manna that God sent down from heaven was just a picture, or a sign, or a type, or a shadow, that God was going to send the bread of life. Him, Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior of the world. And he said, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. You know what Isaiah is saying? You can create your own fire. You can create your own light. You can go your own way. And if you choose to reject God, he'll let you do that. But when you die, you will lie down. You will die in sorrow forever. Amen. Amen. My Bible tells me that the rich man who died without Christ, he had everything you could possibly want in this life, but when he died, he was buried, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. He laid down in sorrow, and he is in sorrow even now. There is eternal sorrow for those who walk in their own light, but there is eternal joy for those who walk in the light of the Lord. Go back to verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now listen, I'm not trying to tell you tonight that there's no darkness, because there is darkness. This world is full of darkness. There is the darkness of sin. There's the darkness of death. There's the darkness of sorrow. And listen, even as a believer, you may feel the pain of darkness from time to time. Do you? Do we not walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Well, it's still a shadow, isn't it? We were talking about this the other day. Just, I can't think about that without thinking about, I believe it was my Grandma Retta's funeral. We were at graveside. Brother Steve Spires was preaching. We're in the little tent there on the side of the hill by the family cemetery, and Brother Steve's reading from the Psalms, and he reads about the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You guys remember that? And Brother Steve stopped and he said, the shadow of death cannot hurt you if you're in Christ. The shadow of death can't hurt you any more than the shadow of a dog can bite you. Amen. And at that time, a dog ran right through the middle of the sermon. It's right on time. You get the idea that an angel was holding him back, and it just right the time. Just at the right time. Listen, maybe it's a shadow, but it's still a shadow. There's still darkness. We feel the pain of death. We feel the sorrow. We feel the darkness of sickness, of depression, of discouragement. Do we not? But we have been given great light. He says, if you fear the Lord, you obey the voice of a servant, look, that walks in darkness and has no light. There are those who believe in God, but they still are feeling the impact of darkness. And he says, listen, I've got some good news for you. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay on your God. So what do we do? How do we experience the eternal joy of walking in the light of the Lord? It's right there, verse 10, fear the Lord. It starts with fearing God. There is a God in heaven, and he does love you, but he's also just. And he's given us a law that you and I can't live up to, and the law is a curse to us because we're all guilty. And so we have to have the fear of the Lord. Why has the world gone so crazy? Because they have no fear of God. They don't fear God. They don't fear the consequences. They have no concern for eternity. But if you have wisdom at all, you'll fear the Lord.
Amen.
Fear the Lord. Next, obey his servant. Obey the voice of his servant. Isaiah 42, verse 1. If you don't know where we're going, get excited. This is awesome. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 3. Fear the Lord and obey his servant. Well, who's his servant? Doesn't God have lots of servants? Did Adam end up being a servant of God? Was Abel a servant of God? Was Enoch a servant of God? Was Noah a servant of God? You guys still with me tonight? How's it going? Was Abraham a servant of God? Was Moses, Joshua? There have been a lot of servants of God, but he doesn't say servants, plural. He says servant, singular, one. Isn't this good? Verse 1, Isaiah 42, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. You know who his elect one is, his chosen one is, his set apart one is? That's the Messiah. Amen. That's Christ the Lord. When he says obey his servant, he means the Lord.
Amen.
Obey the voice of Jesus. Isaiah 53:11. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And if you haven't read Isaiah 53 in its entirety in a while, be a good time to go back and read it again.
Amen.
Jesus is the servant, the one who is elect, the one in whom God's soul delights. What did he say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Isaiah 42, Isaiah 53. How about Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9? Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He served the Father. He did always those things that pleased the Father. And when you obey him, you receive eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. What is his will? His will is to trust in his name. His will is to trust in his holy name. Trust in his name, rest on God. Those that walk in darkness and have no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There's darkness. There's sin, there's sickness, there's sorrow. We wrestle with the world, our own flesh, and the devil every single day. Amen. But God has given us victory. Amen. We walk in the valley of the shadow of death. We live in the land of darkness, but God has given us great light.
Amen.
We talked a little bit. You know, we've been reading the countdown to Christmas and talking about the names of Jesus and a lot of these things at home with the kids. At family worship, and we talked about the lights. I have no idea. Maybe some of you have studied the history, and you know. I love Christmas lights. I don't know really where they got started, whose idea was it, where it began. But I know this. I love to see them. Amen. Ever since the kids were little bitty, we drive them down the road, and we're like, look for the Christmas lights. You know, because kids need something to occupy them when you're driving down the road. Around July, it's, hey, be quiet, look for fireworks. This time of year, it's, hey, look for Christmas lights. But aren't they beautiful?
Amen.
Doesn't it bring just a little bit of joy to you when you see them?
Amen.
If you're like a grinchy person and you don't like Christmas lights, you just let me know, I'm going to pray for you.
Amen.
I don't know how they got started, but for me, that reminds me of Jesus. He's a light in the darkness. It reminds me that he is the light of the world. I don't know what kind of darkness you're walking through right now. But I know that Jesus is the only hope any of us have. I don't know how the darkness is getting you down, but I know that he can lift you up. I don't know how it's closing in around you, but I know that he sets you free. And it's just my prayer tonight that if you've never trusted Christ, that tonight you'll trust in the name of the Lord. You'll obey the voice of his servant. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
If you don't want to walk in darkness anymore, you come to Jesus and you can walk in the light, even as he is in the light.
Amen.
You can come to him by faith. You know, a lot of people have made it really hard trying to come to Jesus, what all that means. I think sometimes we're so scared somebody will get salvation wrong, we make it really, really complicated, but it's not complicated at all. It's very simple.
Amen.
Jesus died because we're sinners. He rose again, and he offers eternal life to all who believe. Trust in him. You must trust in his name. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Fear the Lord, obey his servant, trust in his name. And then he says, stay on his God. Stay, rest, lean on him. No matter what's going on in this world, you can rest in the Lord. He will never leave you or forsake you.